right, we'll call the meeting of the Zoning Board of Appeals to order. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Chairman Martin.
Here.
Mr. Bernie. Not here. Mr. Dombrowski.
Here.
Mr. Lucchese. Ms. Schubkegel.
Here.
Mr. Smetana. Not here.
We have a quorum.
Everybody just make sure you have your microphones on so that people who are on Zoom.
All right, the first matter, we lost the pictures.
Oh, okay. One behind you.
All right, so the first matter on the agenda this evening is the minutes from our meeting on February 11th. Has everyone had an opportunity to review these? Somebody wanted, who was present, want to make a motion to approve them?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Second?
Second.
Moved in second. Any discussion? You want to call the roll on the motion, please?
Ms. Schubkegel.
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese.
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski.
Yes.
Chairman Martin.
Yes. All right, now we have a couple of variations to consider. We would ask that everyone who intends to address the board this evening sign up. And then we want you to stand up as soon as Cliff's available and take an oath. And then we'll proceed with the variation request. So we'll consider the variation request one at a time. First, we'll deal with the request for Vine. We will let the presentation be made, then we will discuss it and make a recommendation to the trustees, and then we'll proceed with the variation request for Park Avenue.
Everyone who wishes to address the board tonight, will you please stand, raise your right hand? To those who will testify at the public hearing, you are reminded that the River Forest Village Code makes it unlawful for any person to knowingly make a false statement of material fact to the village in connection with any application, report, affidavit, oath, certification, or attestation. Violations are punishable as a petty offense with a fine. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to the matter before this Zoning Board of Appeals?
I do. All right, so first we're gonna hear from the applicant for the variation request on Vine. You know, whoever's gonna make the presentation, please go up to the podium and introduce yourself and make your presentation to us.
Excuse me, Chairman Martin, this is Michael Smetana. Do I still have an opportunity to attend?
Yeah, we're happy to have you here, Michael. We just started with the first variation request.
Okay, great.
Hi, I'm Rosie McAdams. My husband and I are requesting a variance for our second story addition on Vine Street, and we are very excited for this addition to give us more space in our current home. I grew up in River Forest, and I'm hoping to make this our forever home and stay in River Forest for years to come. And this extra space will allow us to do that with our growing family. And we've shared our plans with our neighbors. Both neighbors have expressed that they don't have any issues with the variance. We did receive a letter from our neighbors on the west side, which is the neighbors that are most affected by the variance. And our architect, Mark Zinni, can add a little more color for you guys.
Good evening, I'm Mark Zinni, and thank you for listening to our variance for 7612 Vine. In our application, I always find it the most useful if we go to the third page, which is a written description of the request for the variation. What we're requesting is relief for a side yard setback. The applicant, as Rosie mentioned, wishes to do a second floor addition on a very modest house. The footprint right now barely exceeds 1,000 square feet. But the house is on an unusually small site for River Forest standards. The width is 37 and a half feet wide, and the depth doesn't meet the 175 foot, but that's really not an issue. It's less of a depth. The depth's 134 feet. So our request is to just extend the existing side yard setback vertically and also match the eave setback. And in order to do that, there's three exemptions. So although there's an exemption for an addition, that non-conforming addition that could be extended back, there's not an exemption for a non-conforming addition to go upward. So we're requesting to have exemption to that side yard setback to match the existing side yard setback that's there right now. So we're not going to change any of the side yard setbacks. So right now there's a 2'10" and 3/16", basically 2'10" and a half side yard setback. We wish to extend that up vertically. The requirement is 5 feet for a standard 50-foot lot, and again our lot is 37 and a half feet wide. We're requesting for the eave to be able to extend into the side yard setback the same that it is right now, the eave being the overhang. And the only reason we really want to do that is all the houses on that block are very kind of arts and crafts homes, and we're trying to keep the aesthetic consistent with the house that's there right now. So we're just going to get rid of that eave at the first floor, and we're going to basically raise it up to the second floor of that. So that's our request, and hopefully after you see all of our exhibits and you listen to our hardships, which we feel we do have some physical hardships that we did not create and were there because of the site. So if you go to the next page, it basically, per the requirement of the variation, A through E, I just kind of went over. The important thing is with the exemptions, just to see the existing house. So it's Exhibit A, which is very important. And does everybody have Exhibit A in the folder? It would be about 4 pages in, because for some reason mine doesn't have Exhibit A, so I'm wondering if that was omitted. Do you have it, Ron?
I've got the survey?
Oh, good.
I've got a survey.
Good, because mine doesn't have it, and I'm the one that put it together. So I said, yeah, so good. So Exhibit A shows the lot being 37 and a half feet, the depth of 134 feet. What's very unusual is that the house is pushed to the west. And it's about 2'10" on the west side. And then on the east side, it's closer to 13 feet for the driveway. So why is this very unique? Beside the width doesn't meet the standard River Forest 50-foot lot, it's very unique, and it's the only lots that I could find in River Forest that are this small and don't have LE access. So it physically forces everybody to comply with the garage standard, to put the garage in the back, have a driveway on one side, and then have a very modest house, and then this existing side yard setback non-conforming. So that's unique. Some of the other lots that I found, when they're narrower, they usually have LE access. The other unique thing about this house that we're going to discuss is that this is the only house on the block right now that is only a one-story house. All the other interior lots on that block are two-story, with the exception of one other one that's a story and a half. So we're not going to create a situation that could be approved for others because we're on this unusual block and everybody else already has this existing condition. So we're not creating a kind of a new standard. So as we go through it, if we could flip kind of to the next page, we go over some of the standard stuff in section B, height. We're going to just be a very modest height. We're only going to be 29 feet high, 29 foot two, allowable is 35. So we're well below that. The lot size, we went over. The gross floor area, right now we bump up to the maximum floor area permitted. And that's a good reason to try to just go straight up vertically. We're not asking for a variance at all on lot coverage. We're not asking for a variance at all on floor area ratio. We're going to comply with that. And then the other thing beside the site dimensions, if you see exhibit B1, and this is a fold out only because I always think those are entertaining. You could see where we have the proposed house here, the existing detached garage in the back. There's the driveway on the east side, and then the side yard setback on the west side that we're requesting. And then real quick, we do have the existing plans just to give you an idea, just to show you it's a modest house. The first floor on B2, we're basically keeping the footprint very similar to what it is. But what we are trying to add is for life safety, a stair that meets the required egress and the rise run and all those things that are important for life safety. And we're introducing this new stair in B1 that'll get us up to the second floor. The second floor, which is sheet B3 real quickly, you could see we're just making a modest three-bedroom house on the second floor. And what we're trying to do with the front dormer, which is very all for aesthetics, so it doesn't seem very massive. We have a little dormer in the front. Then we're setting the second floor back. So it's very consistent with the other houses in the block. And again, this kind of little arts and crafts aesthetic that's consistent with the stucco homes on that block. The next sheet, B4, is not as fun to look at as B5. So, and that's just the side elevation. But the reason we wanted to look at B4, because that shows the side elevation of the house on the west. We did have a chance, as Rosie said, to show this to the neighbor. Even though we're coming straight up, we're doing some detailing to break that up. You could see that the overhang on the second floor is the same overhang that would have been on the first floor, but we're just raising that up, so we're not really creating more overhang that's non-conforming. And then you could see how we're setting it back, the dormers at the front at the street side. So if you go to B5, the elevation on B5, we did a little bit of a color rendering of what it would look like, and you could see how we're trying to keep the scale of the house down. It's very consistent with all the other houses that are on the block, both in material and scale and aesthetics on that B5. So B6 is just one other elevation. And then what I find very interesting to look at is the sheets C1, which shows the existing street elevation. On C1 in the center is the existing residence. To the east is the neighbor who already has a two-story residence. On the west is the other residence that has a story and a half, which by the way is the only other house that isn't at least two stories on the interior of this block. And they were the ones that were nice enough to again write a letter of support. The other photos are just some more existing photos of the house that show the side yards and the existing construction. And you can see how the proposed construction or aesthetics are trying to stay consistent with the existing construction and aesthetics. And then after C3 is just the back view on that sheet. And then the next sheet, C4 is an aerial view, which we found interesting because, again, just to be a little redundant, you could see all the other houses on the block here. You could see our interior house is the smallest footprint on the block already. All the others are appear to be existing non-conforming larger lot coverage. We're not increasing our lot coverage. You could see that there's obviously no alley in the back, and you could see that all the houses are shifted to the west to allow for driveways on the east on the interior lots. So we thought that was a very interesting contextual plan. The next sheets, which are more for Cliff and us to verify that we are meeting, we're not adding to exceed floor area ratio. We're below the permitted, we're below the permitted floor area ratio, and we're not exceeding the lot coverage. So in conclusion, what we're hoping is that you see that we do have I should go over a few other things that I shifted over, but I thought they're a little obvious, but maybe some of the other standards for the variation, I apologize. We talked about the first one, the physical surroundings, and how that's restrictive. Item two, and again, some of these things are kind of obvious, but I feel like I should say them. The unique physical character condition did not result from an action of anything that any person having interest in the property. We didn't create, obviously, this lot size and the lack of the alley and all those things. The petition, item three, the condition for the petition is based not on the applicant to the other properties within the same zoning classification. So will not apply to other applicants in the same zoning classification, because in R2, most R2 obviously are 50-foot lots. Most of them have a larger depth. None of them have the smaller lots with the, no LE access. Item four on the standard for the variation is that the proposed variation is not based on predominantly desire for economic gain. I think Rosie stated that very well. They just want to stay here, have their family, continue to grow, and they're looking to stay at this house, enjoy it. They're not going to flip it or do any of those things, or they wish to stay here in River Forest. And item five, granting the variation will not be detrimental to public welfare or unduly injurious the environment or development of other properties or improvements. We don't feel that this granting this variation will not adversely affect any of the neighbors, because it's obviously still the same single family residence. The side yard setbacks remain the same. So it's very consistent with what's there right now. Item six talks about the proposed variation will not impair adequate supply of light or vent to the adjacent properties or endanger public safety. It's kind of an interesting little math twist, but the Village of River Forest requires a side yard setback, let's say 5 feet in a standard 50-foot lot. Then they have a secondary side yard setback, the other side yard setback has to be 5 feet, but it also has to add up to a total of 15 feet total side yard setback. On our tiny lot, we're going to exceed that 15 feet because we have 13 feet on a driveway on one side and the 2'10" on the other. So we actually are exceeding the minimum combined side yard setback for a 50-foot lot, even though we're at the 37.5-foot lot. So we don't feel like we're going to be causing any detrimental effect to natural light and natural ventilation. Granting the variation untax public utilities. The biggest public utility would just be water service, and we wouldn't be taxing that at all because of the existing water service. Number eight's an interesting one, and that's the final one. There's no other means of the request by which the alleged hardship or difficulty can be voided or remedied to a degree sufficient to permit a reasonable use of the subject property. So right now, if this is not granted, and we were forced to shift the side yard setback over, we wouldn't have the square footage to be able to do three bedrooms upstairs and modest bathrooms. So we would need to tear off a back addition right now that's just an enclosed porch. And then we'd have to deal with foundation issues, which obviously in a tight lot is detrimental to the neighbors. That's an existing non-conforming condition, so we'd have to come here for a variance to remove that and rebuild it. So we feel this second floor addition is the best addition for our clients. We feel it's not causing any issues to the neighbors. And we feel the uniqueness of this variation or this hardship is a physical one of the existing characters. And that's kind of the summary of my talk. Any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Zinni?
On the west side, how large is that driveway?
It's close to 13 feet.
Okay.
It's a little less because it's about 13 foot to the property line.
Mark, when you go up to the second floor and the sun's coming from the south, what's going to be the impact of the shadow that the second floor is going to make? Is that going to extend past the backyard of this house? Is it going to affect the neighbor to the north?
Well, the south sun's probably not the issue. It's, if you're concerned, it would be more the east and west sun, you know, as it's rotating. So I think you're just talking about the sun angle, Frank, as it's going, you know, all the way around. If the sun's due south, obviously the shadow's going to the north. But as it's going to the east and west, when the sun is setting in the west, the shadow's going to the east, and that's over the driveway. So that has very little bit of effect. As it's rising in the morning on the east side, right now the neighbor's house, and I didn't run the numbers on it, obviously the sun angle is pretty minimal because it's coming in at a 45 degree, but the neighbor's two-story and our two-story I think would have very minimal effect because the neighbor to the west has their driveway there. That's the beauty of it. Everybody has driveway, tight secondary side yard setback and driveway. So it's not like they're pushed up against our lot. So because of that, I don't think we would have any shadow effects of the morning sun on the neighbor to the west or to the east, but mostly to the west.
So the house is going to be twice as high, approximately.
Correct.
And so you don't think there's going to be any greater shadow from the house?
I don't think it's good. Oh, there'll be a greater shadow. I'm not arguing to that. But you said, is it going to have an effect on the neighbor to the west? And I don't believe it will.
Will it have an effect on the neighbors to either the east or the west?
No. Again, because of the driveway. So it's driveway and lot. So when you combine those two, you're close to 15-foot side yard setback. So if you go to the, you know, comparison, let's say all the new houses that were new, well, they weren't new at the time, but on the priory when they were built, there were a lot of houses that were within 3 to 5 foot side yard setback. So the combined side yard setback of one being a 3 or 5 and one being a 3 or 5 was somewhere between 6 and 10 feet. And those houses are, I don't know, Cliff probably knows better than I, they were probably bumping up to the maximum 35 foot height. And they probably didn't all have a gable roof, which gives you less shadows. So those houses are even closer than this house, these houses are together for the, you know, relative height. Does that make any sense or kind of?
All right, any other questions for Mr. Zinni? Is there any, you want to make any, tell us anything else you or the applicant want to make any other statements to the board?
I don't think so.
Okay, so that at this point we close the public portion of the hearing, and as a board, we'll discuss, and if we have questions, we'll ask them of you. Does anybody have any questions, any concerns?
No, so driveways on both sides, I think there's plenty of setback there to deal with.
I agree. I think it's a good plan. I think it fits with the neighborhood.
Either of the board members who are remotely have any questions that they want to ask?
No, this is Michael Smetana. I think there's not really a lot you can do with the lot because of the way that driveway comes in and around. And if you really look at those pictures in the back, there's really a minimal backyard, and you look, the driveway has a lot of impact on it. So I really don't think these owners have any realistic option of going in back, and they really need to go up. And the building itself is relatively narrow for a living space as it is. So I think it would be difficult if we just made them set back the second floor to comply with this the setback. That's it.
All right. Nobody else have any comments? Somebody want to make a motion some kind?
I'll make a motion to grant the variance.
All right, is there a second?
I'll second that.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that we recommend to the Board of Trustees these variation requests be granted. Any discussion? All right, you want to call the roll?
Mr. Smetana?
Yes.
Ms. Schubkegel?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. So the recommendation of the Zoning Board of Appeals will be 5-0 in favor of granting the requested variations. So we thank you for coming this evening. You can check with Cliff, and he'll give you some idea as to when this would be before the trustees. And when it's before the trustees, you have the opportunity to appear before them and to make any presentation that you want to. Okay, thanks for coming.
Thank you very much for your time.
So the next matter before us this evening is the request for a variation for 1018 Park Avenue. So we'll follow the same procedure and ask the applicant to go ahead and make the presentation.
Hi, good evening. I'm John Haig, the architect. Greg and Amanda are here as well, the homeowners. We're here tonight to ask for a couple variations as well on a side yard setback. Currently, they have a two-story colonial house on 1018 Park. And what we're trying to do is enlarge the house. This same factor, Amanda's pregnant with their second, and they're trying to enlarge this house they've been in for the last couple of years. And along with that, they've got two cars, and we did some planning and preliminary planning trying to locate the right spot for this two-car garage. And through our findings of looking at, typically you want to put this in the back section of the lot, they've got some serious flooding in the backyard, and we determined that the best location for this would be up front and to the south. And so part of this, part of our request then would be to reduce that side yard setback from what would be a 7.5 foot setback to 3'9". And in doing that, we were enabled to get a 24 foot wide garage. And we've got an existing 2,600 square foot house, and along with the garage, we're gonna propose a family room addition and a second floor master that sits above the garage and above the proposed family room. So currently today, like I said, that's a 2,600 square feet, and then we're trying to enlarge it to 4,800 square feet. Where the allowable for the lot, it's a rather large lot, would allow for a 6,500 square foot house. In our proposal, we've got our summary, which I just enabled. I'm going to run through exactly what we're looking for. So we request two variations. The first one is for the side yard setback, which would have been which proposed down to a 3.75, as well as our combined side yard setbacks would require an 18.75. We need a variation for that as well, going down to 13.95, which goes along with that north setback. Currently, it sits at 10.2 feet, and our setback to the south was 27.5 feet. So we determined to put that garage on the site. We also have letters from the neighbors supporting both the project. The house to the south, which is Amanda's grandmother, lives there. Their house, the way it sits, is about 6 feet off of that property line. We have this garage on the south side, so there won't be any light effect from a two-story. You know, it works in reverse there, where the sun will cast onto this two-story addition. And we have some plans in the back of our request that indicate we have like a master closet on that second floor, so that wouldn't impact the sun from the other side. As well as we indicate the actual size of their cars today in that garage, that shows that we literally are on 24 feet. And I've done some calculations with the cars, and having 3 foot between the cars, we're really pushed up against that that setback. There's also a drawing towards the back that shows kind of a three-dimensional view of the site. I believe that's page 8, as well as the east elevation. And what we've done in the east elevation is put a hip roof on the addition to provide a little bit of relief from Anita Grazafi, who's to the north, or south, sorry about that, for the house. So as you look at the pictures, the existing pictures of the house, you can see exactly what the conditions are. But the most telling one is on the last page that shows the backyard. This picture was taken in May or the spring of last year, and it shows the extreme flooding that they have in their backyard. And this was really the sticking point of trying to put a detached garage in the back would provide, you know, problems for the flooding, the offset of that water, the offset of the driveway. Even though we could do a non-impervious driveway with pavers in the back, the size of the garage and the offset of all that water would be, you know, detrimental to the surrounding neighbors. I'm going to just open this up to you guys for questions, because I think you'll probably have some on this rather than going through point by point, but I'm be happy to answer them. And I'll leave some comments to the to Greg and Amanda at the end of our meeting here. So with that, you have any questions for us?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask about this. So the neighbors to the north and the south, are they both?
They're both on board. I provided, there's two letters in the back of the pamphlet from both Anita Grazafi and Rita Fioravanti.
What is your plan for the existing driveway today?
That will remove that existing driveway today.
And any mitigation, because this is going to cause all more water problems by building a garage over there.
Yeah, well, we believe, you know, we're actually going to probably rework that back area as well. But the driveway, you know, I haven't done a square foot to square foot calculation on that, but it's not that far off. But it's probably, you know, the bigger addition on the back is what we're still kind of in the planning stage. We kind of put the worst case scenario or the bigger footprint on this proposal. But obviously, yeah, we've got some issues in the back that we didn't want to exasperate, you know, but we'll work that out with our civil and our drainage plan.
Cliff, variations they're asking for, those are the only ones that are necessary to complete this project?
For the
preliminary plans as presented, that is correct. These are the only variations that are required.
Yeah, we don't plan on getting even close to that, you know, the FAR or anything like that. I believe we're still 1,500 square feet less than, you know, maxing out that FAR.
All right, anybody else want to say anything concerning this application?
Craig, do you want to say something?
Hi, I'm Greg Palivos, owner of 1018 Park, my wife Amanda. And I just wanted to thank everyone for your time here in our variation request. We came to River Forest less than 2 years ago, but my wife's been here her whole life. Both her parents grew up here. Her grandparents been here over 50 years. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we want to continue to grow our family and looking to put an addition on our home. You know, to safely use it and, you know, looking to be here a long time. So really appreciate your consideration for what we're trying to do. And thank you for your time, your service.
Any questions for the applicant? Okay. Mr. Haig, is there anything else you want to present to the board concerning this application? Okay, so again, we'll close the public portion of the hearing, and as a board, we'll consider the application and make a recommendation to the trustees. Anybody have any comments? Joanna, you have anything?
No, I'm good.
Michael? Okay. Somebody want to make a motion then, and we'll go ahead.
I'll make a motion to approve the variances. I think it's a big addition, but it looks like it will fit with the neighborhood, and the neighbors are on board. I think they've addressed each of the eight factors as well.
I'll second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that we recommend to the trustees that this request for variation be approved. Any discussion? You want to call the roll then?
Chairman Martin?
No.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Ms. Schubkegel?
Yes.
Pardon me?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Smetana.
He's muted.
Could you please unmute Mr. Smetana?
Sorry, no.
Okay,
so the recommendation of the Zoning Board of Appeals will be 3-2 in favor of granting the variation. Council can explain to you what that means.
Pursuant to the Village of River Forest Zoning Code, a major variation must receive 4 affirmative votes from the Zoning Board of Appeals to be considered a positive approval or recommendation for approval to the Village Board. For the Village Board to approve the variation at the board level, it would have to receive a favorable vote of 2/3 of the Board of Trustees. So the recommendation will be prepared for the Zoning Board of Appeals that will be approved at a further meeting. Then it will go to the Board of Trustees, at which time they'll have to consider the request in itself, but would have to vote with 2/3 approval.
So this will go to the Board of Trustees, talk to Cliff. They'll tell you when it'll be there. And you are encouraged to attend the meeting of the trustees and to make whatever presentation you think is will be helpful. Thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you.
Okay. So we have one more thing on the agenda this evening. As we were warned at the last meeting, there's going to be a series of proposals coming before us to address the affordable housing plan, which the village adopted. And this is the first of the petitions from the trustees that they want us to consider.
That's correct. Okay. Yes, you were warned. Thank you. Thanks, Frank. For the record, my name is Lisa Shiner. I'm the acting village administrator for the Village of River Forest. And I'm here tonight appearing on behalf of the village as the petitioner for this proposed text amendment. As Chairman Martin stated, and for the record, the village adopted an affordable housing plan last year that complies with the requirements of the Affordable Housing Planning and Appeals Act. The Affordable Housing Planning and Appeals Act requires that if a community does not have 10% of its housing share, that it must adopt an affordable housing plan. And there are various compulsory requirements that must be included in that plan. According to the state, the village maintains 9% in affordable housing share, and as a result, we were required to adopt the plan. One of the compulsory requirements of the plan is that the village identify its goal to increase affordable housing. The village selected as its goal, based on a recommendation of the Plan Commission, that we improve affordable housing share from 9% to 10% or greater. And one of the other components of the plan is that we must identify how we intend to achieve that goal, including by offering incentives or potential incentives for developments. So the plan identifies that, but the plan identifies additional considerations that the village can utilize to achieve this affordable housing share. And as we discussed last month when we talked about some of these text amendments, this is the first one. So this text amendment asks that the Zoning Board of Appeals consider an amendment to the zoning ordinance by amending one of the standards that the Development Review Board must utilize when evaluating a proposed plan development. So the petition before you tonight is to amend section 1019.3a, which is the first standard of review for the Development Review Board. Currently, it reads the proposed use or combination of uses is consistent with the goals and policies of the comprehensive plan. As you know, the village adopted an amended comprehensive plan about 2 years ago at this point, and bringing an affordable housing plan online was one of the recommendations out of that comp plan. So it's sort of a cascading effect here. The petition is to add the phrase and the affordable housing plan to the end of that section of the zoning ordinance so that it would now read, the proposed use or combination of uses is consistent with the goals and policies of the comprehensive plan and the affordable housing plan. So as you know, the village maintains a development review board that is comprised of members of both the Zoning Board of Appeals and the Plan Commission, and their charge is to evaluate proposed plan developments that are submitted to the village. Any new multifamily residential development is subject to the village's plan development ordinance. And so when the Development Review Board is considering that application, with this text amendment, one of the standards they would have to apply is consistency with the comp plan and the affordable housing plan goals and objectives. So that is the petition before you tonight, and the village asks that you consider this text amendment.
All right, any questions? So I don't like this amendment.
Okay.
And I'm going to vote against it. And I'm going to vote against it because I think that there are a number of statutes and ordinances that we should consider as part of the plan development process. The ADA, for example. I don't see what's to be gained by, you know, singling out this particular ordinance and omitting everything else that we should consider. I would prefer that the ordinance be amended to say that we're going to consider the comprehensive plan and all other relevant ordinances and statutes. But that's not what we've been presented with tonight, so that's why I'm going to vote against it, not because I recognize we have to comply with the Affordable Housing Act or a plan, but I think there are other acts and ordinances that we also have to comply with.
Okay. There are a number of acts, obviously accessibility, ADA, that are considered under the Illinois Accessibility Code when we do plan reviews. The Affordable Housing Planning and Appeals Act requires that we have the plan. and the plan meets the minimum standards, but it also goes on to ask that the village consider other standards. I appreciate the suggestion of alternative wording. The way the legal notice is written gives you the option to consider alternative wording. This is the village's petition. Right. I think the attorney can opine whether or not it would be appropriate to recommend something different. And I completely hear your comments. The affordable housing plan isn't an ordinance or a statute, it's a policy statement, just like the comprehensive plan is a policy statement. So I would only offer that as a slight differentiation.
Okay, anybody else got any comments or questions?
Yeah, I have a question. This is Michael Smetana. Is the affordable housing plan, or is part of that plan, require or contemplate that the comprehensive plan itself will be changed to support the goals of the affordable housing plan? So, for example, I think it says here on page one, allow for taller and denser development in designated commercial mixed-use areas. Is the intent that the comprehensive plan be changed to allow that?
No. So the comprehensive plan is the policy statement, a visionary document, a planning guideline for the village. The comprehensive plan asks that the village pass an affordable housing plan that is consistent with the Affordable Housing Planning and Appeals Act, which is what has occurred. The comprehensive plan doesn't need to be amended to support the affordable housing plan. The first suggestion, this additional consideration that is included in the affordable housing plan, is a consideration that the village review its bulk standards as it applies to development within the Village of River Forest. And the comp plan calls for something very similar. That isn't what is before you tonight. Taking a look at bulk standards would be a separate set of text amendments. The only thing that's before you tonight is evaluating plan developments and their compliance with the goals and policies, or their alignment with the goals and policies of the affordable housing plan.
Aren't these other?
I understand what you're saying, and let me just rephrase what I think I'm hearing is that as part of the implementation of the affordable housing plan, it is not the village's intent to change the comprehensive plan, but it's the village's intent to propose various text amendments to the ordinance, including the one we have before us today, to accomplish those goals of the affordable housing plan.
Correct.
Doesn't it go beyond that? And we're going to be asked to consider amendments to the zoning code or to the plan development ordinance to permit some of these suggestions.
I'm sorry, Frank, can you repeat your question?
Well, I'm trying to follow up on what Michael was asking.
Okay.
And these considerations that are listed in one through five, I think, mm-hmm. or one through four, these are all going to be possible amendments to the zoning code that we're going to be asked to consider in order to implement the policies of the housing plan.
To further the village's goal of achieving a greater share of affordable housing.
But we're not to that point yet. All we're doing tonight is to consider a very simple amendment to one of the review standards that the Plan Development Board considers.
Correct.
Okay.
And going back to your point on the accessibility issue, I know you recall this, but just for the record, a few years ago, the plan development standards were also amended to consider the compatibility of the pedestrian environment, I think, for both. And I'm not confident I'm getting the wording right. I'd have to pull the plan development ordinance out in front of me, but also to look at accessibility, not just for pedestrians, but also for individuals with disabilities. So to speak to the issue of the accessibility of plan developments, the standards were amended a few years ago to take that into account.
Okay, any other questions?
I can comment briefly on Chairman Martin's question about additional standards and ordinances and statutes that could be reviewed in light with a plan development application. While it certainly could be a change that we could propose under the current legal notice, it really only does refer to the Affordable Housing Plan. In other situations, if there was minor wording changes to the zoning code proposed amendment, those could occur. But in this case, because the legal notice is so specific to the Affordable Housing Plan, I wouldn't recommend making those additional changes within the confines of this hearing. Now, it could happen in another hearing that's also noticed, but in this hearing, I don't think it would be proper.
Thank you, Carmen.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Did somebody make a motion before?
No.
No.
All right. Can somebody make a motion concerning this proposed amendment to the standards of the plan development ordinance? Okay. I guess we're going to die because there's no motion to approve this.
Okay.
So we have a motion to dismiss.
Be happy to make a motion to dismiss.
For a second?
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye.